Crusaders, and welcome to another edition of Batman, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and writer, and the guy who calls me Dick. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
What's up, you dick?
Yeah, well, it's not the first time you call me that.
Fucking dick.
How much of a dick was I as kids to you?
So the biggest dick in the world. Bigger than Shaquille O'Neal's dick. As a human being,
what was the biggest? Actually, no, I don't know if I want you to share.
Oh, you want to start the podcast by digging up the past of the worst shit you've done to me in your life?
Maybe not the worst, but one that's like more appropriate to share.
When you wanted to trade cars with me, and then you drove off, and then suddenly I got calls that your car was being repoed, and you just did it so that you could nick my car, and then suddenly I had no car. That was a fun one.
What a dick.
This is the last episode of this fucking podcast, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you're not feeling great, but you're doing this anyway. You're doing it for the fans. So
I have a cold, everybody, so
hooray.
Okay, so switching gears, how's the art life?
The bat signal has been lit. I'm being pulled back to Gotham City.
You are indeed. Why don't you share what you've been... Can you share what you've been asked to do for DC?
I cannot. I will just say that it is in the realm of horror, so I'm extremely excited about that. I'm very excited to be offered a gig that is more in line with what I want to do in the comic book industry.
Definitely. You know,
it's all well and good that I get offered How the Dark and Damage Control and all these silly shenanigans, Spawn kills everyone. But it's not what my passion is. My passion is to tell interesting, real, dramatic slash dark comedy slash horror, specifically horror. I love horror. So I've been offered a horror story in the Batman universe. It's only 10 pages. It's for a little Halloween anthology, but I'm fucking looking forward to it, bud.
Me too, man. I can't wait. So,
and it involves a Batman villain that we have reviewed a few times on this podcast.
That's right. That's true. We have. And yeah, I can't wait till you can reveal more and to see what you do with these characters in this story and how it's going to look and feel and what odes and inspirations you're going to take. So, yeah.
I know. I'll say one thing. It has to do with Blackest Night, I believe. It revolves around that story arc where it was a bunch of dead bodies. And I was like, oh, so I get to draw like zombie stuff as well? Like, I'm in. This is me. Wow. This is what I want to do.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear more as we go on about that. Also, for people that have been listening or newcomers to this podcast, we're thinking about doing a live show in June. There is a Google form in the description below where you can fill it out. Essentially, all I ask in the Google form is, what's your name? And do you think you'd be able to attend this live show in June in London?
What's your star sign? What's your type?
What's your patronus? Are you a bottom? I was going more nerdy, but you're going straight for that, are you?
What is your sexual patronus?
What would that be?
I don't know.
Just a stag with a big dick?
It's all the same animals, but with a big dick.
Big dick?
A house cat with a big dick.
Sexual patronus!
It's Hedwig with a giant dick.
Can't fly. We both did the same thing. Okay, yeah, go back. We were thinking about doing a live show in June, but of course, we want to know just how much interest there is out there. We found a venue, but again, venue costs, travel costs, everything costs money. So we want to make sure that we can have enough people there to make it worth it. So we're thinking about mid-June, central London. We'll watch Almost Gotham together with the crowd. Then we'll review the episode, involve the crowd in all of our fun games. You know, we've got the Riddle Me This game, we've got the Guess the Song or Ace the Bat Sound game. And we could do what you put in your holes and ask people, what are they, you know, watching or what content are they stuffing into their holes? So lots of cool things where you're not just going to sit there and watch two fat guys talk about Batman the whole time. You'll be able to chat with us as well. So yeah, this would take place in mid to late June, central London location, £5 a ticket. And if you're thinking that you can make it, go to the Google form below, or you can email us at batmantaspod@gmail.com or find us batmantaspod on all the socials. Let us know if you're interested. Right now we've had a fair amount, but not loads of people that filled out the Google form since I posted it last week. So I'll keep on plugging this for a couple weeks. If it feels like it's going to build up enough steam and interest, we'll do it. If not, no big deal. You know, we can always save it for a later date. There's movies coming down the line, like Batman Sub-Zero, that we could do for a live show if people want to have, like, more of an experience. So we'll see how we get on. But I would love to do it. So if people are interested, fill out that Google form and let us know.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, are we ready to do another thing, which is review this episode?
Let's do it.
Okay, this episode is titled Robin's Reckoning Part 2. It came out on February 14th, 1993. It was directed by Dick Sebast, written by Randy Rogel, and animation by Dong Yang, with layouts by Spectrum. Featuring Kevin Conroy as Batman Bruce Wayne, Bob Hastings as Commissioner Gordon, Ephraim Zimbus Jr. as Alfred, Lauren Lester as Robin and Dick Grayson, Rebecca Gilchrist as Chi-Chi, Linda Gary as Bertie, Charles Howerton as Lenny, Joey Simran as 9-year-old Dick Grayson, Lionel Mark Smith as the bus driver, and Tom Wilson as Tony Zuko. So some honorable mentions here. Dong Yang animated this episode, and they previously animated the episodes that we reviewed, which were Joker's Favor, Nothing to Fear, Appointment in Crime Alley, Eternal Youth, See No Evil, Two-Face Part 2, I've Got Batman in My Basement, The Forgotten, The Cape and Cowl Conspiracy, and Perchance to Dream.
Nice.
Spectrum is credited for doing the layouts of this episode, and they animated part one. So they didn't actually animate part two. Dong Yang did, but Spectrum provided some layouts. Did you notice a difference in animation in this?
Yeah, it didn't have that anime quality to it, but it had the Batman the Animated Series quality to it, that's for sure.
It did. I definitely noticed a change in the animation. There just wasn't enough richness and depth like part one to part two had. Like, it was very much, yeah, as you said, Batman the Animated Series feel, but that anime feel that we got in part one, I was like, oh man, just I miss it already watching part two, you know.
Didn't realize how, like, you could even elevate Bruce Timm's look into something even cooler. But yeah, there were still anime elements to this. I mean, the shot where Robin stops on his motorcycle is just straight Akira, like 100% Akira.
Yep, that's in my fun facts, yeah.
And I fucking love Batman's costume. It's so cool. When Batman shows up in the flashbacks and, like, he's like super black, you know what I mean? His cape, yes. Like, the other cape has, like, that little blue sheen to it, which I love. Mm-hmm. But, like, this Batman is, like, he's pure black, and he's got the pure black logo, and I think he looks the business. I really do.
He does, yeah. The only blue you have in that costume is just the behind the cape, like the backside of the cape, or the inside of the cape, should I say. I think he looks the best in this, too. I love that costume. I wish that was the costume we got, in a way. I mean, I love all of the costume interpretations in this show, especially as we go on and we'll see in the new adventures or Batman Beyond. But this one, there's something really special about that. Like, it's just, as we said last time, it's so year one, isn't it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just got that vibe.
I kind of wish he had purple gloves, but I guess that'd be too far.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. We've got director Dick Sebast has been credited previously on this podcast in our Cat and the Claw Part 2 review. So go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about his career. We've got writer Randy Rogel has credited previously in our Two-Face Part 1 review, as well as being a guest on this podcast. So go back and listen to those episodes if you're interested in hearing more about his career. Then we got acting creds. All returning characters have been credited previously on this podcast for their first appearances, such as Lauren Lester as Robin in Christmas with the Joker, or Kevin Conroy as Batman in On Leather Wings. So go back and listen to those episodes as well if you want to hear more about those voice actors. And then as far as new acting creds go for this episode, we got Rebecca Gilchrist, who plays Chi-Chi, who will also come back in the DCAU as a one-off character in both the new Batman Adventures and Batman Beyond. She also voiced
characters. She's a recurring character?
No, she voices another one-off character. Okay. Like Chi-Chi's a one-off. Yeah, so there wasn't names I recognized, but just for the, you know, the DCAU fans out there that listen to this show, she'll come back to voice.
I know it's a cartoon, but Chi-Chi's kind of it. Not gonna lie.
I mean, also, they've a sex worker is in a kids' cartoon, right? Like that was.
Is that what they were saying? You think?
I think so. What else is he like? You holding out me, Chi-Chi? And like, I mean, she wasn't dressed scantily. Right.
You're absolutely right. I don't know why I didn't put two and two together, but yes, you're 100% right.
She was definitely. She was a sex worker for sure. She's also voiced characters in Pinky and the Brain.
Like, what sex?
Little dick.
I have a little dick. How much? Takes out like a wand. He's like, my new father gave me this much. Is that enough to try out sex? Whatever that is. Sounds fun.
I can't even care about Tony Zucca anymore. I just want to get down, Chi-Chi. So she's also voiced characters in Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs, Popeye and Son, and James Bond Jr. I was waiting for it. Then Charles Howerton, who plays Lenny, will also come back in the DCAU as one-off characters as well in the Demon's Quest Part 2 episode, as well as Superman the Animated Series and Justice League. He is also known for his roles in G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, Married with Children, and in the 1980s Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie. And finally, Lionel Mark Smith, who plays the bus driver, is also known for playing the detective in Magnolia and Colonel Blaine in Spartan. He passed away in 2008 at the age of 62. All right, now time for some utility belt of fun facts. Robin sliding his motorcycle sideways to stop it at the dock is an homage to the famous maneuver of the titular character in the movie Akira, as you mentioned earlier. I've never even seen Akira, but when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that's just straight the same style of animation and shot and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an iconic piece of just nerd culture, regardless if you've seen it or not. And I've tried to watch Akira a couple times. I struggled to get into it for some reason. I like the look. It's very Blade Runner and stuff, and I know it's iconic. Maybe it's something I need to read over watching the animation. Yeah, I've tried, and I just keep being like, are we going to get to something here? What's going on?
I know. I've been like that with some things. Like the movie Dune. I was like, okay, like everybody loves Dune or Dune. Here we go. And then I was like, I don't get it. I'm sorry. I want to like it.
They should have released Dune in June and confused the shit out of Brits. Like, I'm going to see Dune. When's it out? June. Yes, when is it out? June 18th.
When Batman first ties the wooden beam to his leg, it extends up past his knee. Later on in the merry-go-round, it stops below his knee, which would make it useless as a brace. What did you think of the whole Batman being injured in this, by the way?
Tony Zucchini seems to be like getting away with loads of stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, I did think that it made sense, I guess, for Batman to be injured in order to then need Robin's help for one, but also not just easily take down a bunch of like low-level thugs, you know, like these guys. He could dispose of easily. Like,
I don't like seeing Batman like having to make like a thing like that, you know. I don't like seeing Batman weak.
Gives you the ick, doesn't it?
Yeah, like the fact that it's just that he's fucking Tony Zucchini and he just shot the ceiling and you fall through and you're like, I biffed that one. Like, come on, Batman.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, seeing him like hobble and be like, Robin, stop. And he's like hobbling up. I was like, oh, Batman, you're not a Dark Avenger anymore. You're just like that guy that you're like, oh, bless you, but go back to bed. You know, like, stop trying to do stuff. Just put down.
No, I'll do the dishes, I swear.
Yeah.
No, don't bother. We'll do the dishes. Get back in bed. I need some sort of use or I cease to function.
When this series was renamed The Adventures of Batman and Robin, the opening title sequence used a majority of the clips from these episodes, which I definitely recognize.
Like Robin going over the bridge and stuff.
Yes, yeah. Chi-Chi was modeled after actress Betty Page, apparently. That's who that character
is. I love Betty Page, so that's why I find that cartoon fit.
The carousel music at the same tune used at the carnival in Baby Doll and played by the Joker's balloon in the Superman the Animated Series World Finest movie. The music played in the diner where Dick and Chi-Chi eat is the same as the Stack Deck Club in Almost Got 'Em. Did you hear that jazz theme in the diner? It comes back in Almost Got Him as like that recognizable theme instantly. And I was
I've only seen the show a handful of times. True. Some episodes multiple times. I don't watch it every day, all day like you do. So I'm not going to be like, hey, did you hear that bit of music that was also in this bit? Like, come on, guy.
Yeah, fair
play. Was this the Saw theme? Like, that's huge level.
Joey Simran is credited as Dick Grayson, aged 10 in part 1, but as Dick Grayson, aged 9 in part 2, muddying the waters further.
He must have a birthday.
Well, no, but that means backwards. Because he was 10 in part 1 and then credited as age 9 in part 2.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
Nope. So he obviously aged backwards in between part 1 and part 2.
He's Benjamin Button in it.
Yeah, and to make matters even worse, or making it more confusing, Alan Burnett has said that Dick was 8 in this episode. So you're like, which is it, man?
Weed Manor, bro. We were all stoned as hell.
Speaking of Alan Burnett, we've had an email from him, which includes his memories of making this episode.
Oh, nice.
You ready for this? Mm-hmm. So Alan said, I consider it a stellar episode, especially the first half, which dealt with Dick Grayson's parents' death, which, as you say, had not really been told before outside the comics, and I was pleased that it won the Primetime Emmy. But the real reason why it won was because The Simpsons took itself out of the animator category that year, insisting that it was a sitcom first and not a cartoon. I do believe we even thanked The Simpsons for doing that at the ceremony, and not jokingly either. Really, we were super grateful. They had been an Emmy juggernaut for years and continued to be when they went back to the animated category after that year. He continues on and says, the show was directed by Dick Sebast, a talented, soft-spoken fellow who I rarely saw during the entire production because he somehow had a deal to work out of his home in Lake Arrowhead. And who
nice.
And who could blame him for that? Absolutely. I'm not sure he even bothered to come to the Emmys. That's interesting.
I want to move to a lake. I want to live next to a lake.
And work just on comics?
And just have like my office overlooking a lake. I'm going to move to the Lake District.
I can see you like very Tony Soprano as well, like sitting on a deck chair, smoking a cigar, looking at the
peaceful
lake. Yeah,
that's my vibe, man. That's what I want.
And then Alan continues and says, I really like the look of the show. The colors are very rich and it really does have the feel of being painted on black velvet. I worked out the story with Randy, who is one of the most energetic and conscientious writers I've ever worked with. As you undoubtedly know, he has a big musical background as a performer and composer and was really an amazing asset to Animaniacs with his songs. When I say energetic, I'm not kidding. While other people were twiddling their thumbs during COVID, Randy wrote a musical which is currently being mounted in London, which is true to a degree, because then I reached out to Randy and I was like, dude, are you having a musical in London? And I was asking him about this episode as well. And he's been on our show, so like he filled us in on a lot of Robin's Reckoning's facts. So I kind of don't want to repeat myself there. But he is talking with producers in London to get the musical launched here, which is interesting. And then finally, to finish this email from Alan Burnett, which is so lovely of him, he said, it's an episode of big emotions, and part of my concern was to keep the theatrics reined in enough to keep him from spilling into a hokey melodrama. And of course, we had Andrea Romano, our voice director, to help keep it real. And those are my main memories. Hope they help. When this podcast gets airs, please let me know. Signed, Alan Burnett. P.S. And thanks for the compliment on the Batman New Adventures book. Which, or the adventures continue, should I say, because I've just finished their third season, as it is, by Paul Dini and Alan Burnett. Yeah, so that was really nice of him to write in and give all those facts and his memories. I thought that was really cool.
Absolutely.
So, much better than finding it online and wondering if it's true or not. All right, let's get into the review of this episode. What did you think about this episode, part two of Robin's Reckoning?
I thought it was very good. I very much liked it. I thought it was a solid episode. I love gangsters, you know, and I like Tony Zucchini, and I like, he's a good villain. I like how round his eyes are and, like, how paranoid he is. And...
See, I didn't like the round eyes. Like, I thought that was the animation difference that I noticed compared to part one, where, like, I don't know, he looked a little out of place for me with those like really round eyes that it was always like, oh, I'm like, he always looked like he was straining.
I thought that it looks straight out of like The Dark Knight Returns. Like that's very Frank Miller, like Sin City as well, those round eyes. Capullo does a lot of that as well, as do I. So I very much like the round eye look.
Okay.
And I like that in the end, Batman's reason for not wanting Robin to come along is because he didn't want to lose him too. Because apparently, Tony Zucchini is someone that, like, hard to fuck with, right? Like, even apparently. Batman got injured trying to fight Tony Zucchini, so.
Yeah, Batman was not on his A game in this episode either. No. Like, just walking around the roof. I'm surprised he, like, didn't drop a batarang, like, and you just hear it, like, drop down all the roof tiles, and he's like, no, no, no! Because.
What was that? It was a rat. I think the rat just said it was a rat. Yeah. Nibble, nibble on some cheese.
Yeah, he just fired up into the roof. And I guess, yeah, he lucked out there because he got Batman and injured him. But he fired for like a straight, like, I counted, it was like 30 seconds, man.
Yeah, but that's great, though, because when he goes to shoot Batman, his magazine's empty, so it makes sense.
Yeah,
and I feel like Batman knew it was empty, and that's why he, like, didn't dodge it or anything. I think he counted those bullets, and that's why I love... It is kind of cool, though, that Batman, like, even though Batman biffed it, right, he still chucked a smoke grenade and just casually fucking, like, walks yeah, through them out the door while everyone's inside, like, ah! Oh, my God! Like, and he's just like, oh, yeah. You fucking idiots.
I did think it was funny when he was just, like, hobbling through, like, okay, that's the end of my night. I'm going home. Like, I've had too much fun. Game's over now.
Did, Tony Zucco, did Robin give away who he was at the end or no, right?
I thought that too because, I mean, Tony Zucco is a pretty stupid character, so maybe he's too dumb to realize. But if there was a circus boy that suddenly, like, goes to live with Bruce Wayne and then you've got Batman has a new sidekick however that's many what, years later.
That's the point I'm trying to make. I feel like Tony Zucchini could be like, oh, I know who Batman is.
Yeah, and when Robin goes, I've been waiting a long time for this Zucco, I was like, you are really giving it away, dude. That, like, this is personal.
I think he was going to kill him, right?
Yeah, he was definitely going to kill him. Yeah. I kind of wanted him to as well. When he, like, when he flew into that scene.
Victory, and, right?
Yeah, when he grabbed Zucco on the motorcycle and was dragging him across the dock, I was like, that's pretty dope, man. Like, that's dark.
This is why The Punisher is, like, my favorite hero in the world. I love Batman. Don't get me wrong. It's my favorite DC universe. It's my favorite superhero universe of all time. But I fucking love a guy that just fucking kills people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you sure you don't want to be? Are you sure you're not a Zack Snyder fan then? After Batman wanting to kill people?
No, because I'm not saying Batman should be doing it.
Yeah,
I get where Batman's coming from. But like for instance, I just watched that Sicario movie for the first time. It was fine. But the best bit of it was when someone gets like pure revenge in it and fucking murders people. And I was like, murder!
Yeah, I thought Robin was also giving his like best Batman voice when he was like, I've been waiting a long time for the Zucco, and I was like, you just can't get there, mate. You just don't have the
I think he had a bit of intimidation there, and I also like how he's like, well, I've been trained by the fucking best, so I'm gonna fucking take you down. And that's why he kind of went full Batman, didn't he? And I like that.
He did. Yeah, I did like that too. So I really liked the effect at the start of Robin watching the Batmobile dot on his tracking device, and then the shot transitions to the same bird's eye view, but it's the Batmobile on the street. I liked how the dot changed into the Batmobile. I thought that was a cool transition. And it was nice to see Bruce actually having fun whilst fencing with Robin in the flashback. Mm. Like, you know, he was almost like childlike, where he's like, oh, this is like new to me, but he was enjoying it. And they both look like kids being caught doing something that they shouldn't be doing by Alfred as well when Alfred walks in, because they were just like, well, like this.
They look exactly what they should do. It's not a father and son relationship, it's a brother relationship.
Yes.
What they were doing there was having a little play around like brothers, as you and I would do back in the day. So I like that a whole bunch.
Yeah, me too. And Bruce is rocking his gray polo when meeting with Gordon. Redheaded Gordon again shows up in this episode as well. And I thought that must be one of the first instances that Bruce starts to trust Gordon, right? Because it was so early on in his Batman career. And he's got Gordon in Wayne Manor, you know, in that office. And I liked that a lot. I thought that was really well shot. I thought that was a cool scene to add.
Well, it's lovely to think that, like, the guy who comforted him when his parents died, as some law dictates, Commissioner Gordon, is the same guy that comforted Dick Grayson when his parents died. Like, I kind of like the full circleness of that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's got a soft spot for orphans, children. Yeah,
well, he's a good. It's because he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Dick is also rocking a cream-colored polo and a Peaky Blinders cap in most of this episode in the flashbacks. Yes.
A little cheeky chappy.
A flesh-colored turtlenecked Dick. I've got written down here.
Honey, he's 10, 9, or 8, okay?
That's true. He's one of those ages. Then when little Dick is showing the picture of Zuko around town, there's that one guy at the newspaper stand.
It's just a picture of a zucchini that has Tony written on it. I've seen that guy.
Did you see how fat the newspaper guy was, though? He was just a ball with legs. And I was like, oh, wow, that is quite a comparison.
Don't fat shame the newspaper guy. Probably how you would look from that point of view as well.
Watching him next to little Dick, I was like, that is a big fat guy. Like, fat. And then it cuts to the next scene is Fat Paulie's pool hall, and I was like, was that Fat Paulie? Like, does he have a day job at the newspaper?
I used to
work
the papers as a kid, and I sometimes do it on the weekends just because I like it.
The Batwing interrupts the music, which was cool, and I do like that music.
I loved this scene.
Yeah,
seeing,
you like this?
Seeing the criminals' point of view of them scattering like fucking rats and turning their lights off because they can hear the fucking TIE fighter noise of the bat plane going over and the spotlight. I was almost like, I was afraid as well. I was like, this is like fucking Nazi Germany right now. Like, this is crazy.
I thought that too. I was like, this is a bit, this is a bit Nazi like in the sense of like, hide, otherwise whatever's coming is much worse than you
even
could ever imagine.
Like, I should hide.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a cool effect that Batman has on the criminals, as you said. But I did think that the music before that scene with Robin walking around is really good. Like, part one has good music, but this one, the
very Hitchcocky type stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And then it's just cut off by the Batwing, and then you get this little like as the Batwing flies off, which I thought was really clever. But imagine being in like an average citizen in Gotham trying to unwind after a long day, and then suddenly a giant spotlight is shining through your window and like it's drowning out the sound of your TV. Like this giant plane is just cruising through the streets. You're like, shut the fuck up.
You're just fucking as well. You're just on the nose thing, like, nice.
Don't mind me.
Put a finger up there. All right, fine. I'm kind of into this.
I'm going to shine the light so you can see what you're doing. Here you go.
Stick it in a superstitious cowardly lot. All right, Batman, if you say so. I'm a dom.
Batman's just like eating snacks. He's like, this is great. This is why I come out tonight.
This is why I come to this scene. That's why we're always scattered. It's like, he makes us do weird shit, man. You made me stick a finger in a superstitious cowardly lot. I wasn't into it. Is that a 10-year-old boy? Oh, this is the wrong alley for you, man. And I know all about wrong alleys for children, trust me.
Get that little dick out of here. Then we cut to the diner where we meet Birdie the waitress, and I thought she was quite the character. I thought she was built like the Thing from Fantastic Four and kind of spoke like him as well. What do you think of Birdie?
Yeah, I don't really remember much besides her being the one that knows where Tony Zucchini is.
Yeah, she's like, oh, she's not dead beat. Yeah. But she, I mean, honestly, there's no neck. She's just walking around. Her and Fat Paulie would have a great relationship. Or the newspaper guy that is maybe
Fat Paulie.
Do. Maybe they do. Maybe that's how they make a living in Gotham. Yeah,
or maybe
they're a lovely
was
couple.
Batman dressed up as both those people because he loves to do that.
Then we got my love that Batman moment is when Zuko grabs little Dick. I can't stop.
You don't have to say little Dick. You can just say Robin.
Young Dick?
You can't say young Dick.
Well, it's the flashback, so he's not
you
Robin.
You can say
yet.
Richard.
Little Richard? That's
oh. That's
Tony Zuko, get off of me.
Tony Zucchini.
when Zuko grabs little Richard and Batman is in the shadows and he comes out of the shadows and says,
I'm a huge fan.
I do like when he says, the only place you're going is up the river, you scum. I like when Batman calls someone scum, you know, like it's so personal when he says that, you scum.
And for me, that's my Batman moment there. I think him in the shadows coming out, he looks awesome.
Yes.
And then when he like opens his cape and it's the black bat signal, it's awesome.
Yeah, and you see the blue underneath, and also the, as we said last time, the utility belt has all the pouches and pockets, which I really like the look of as well. Mm-hmm. What I didn't think looked cool, though, was the Batwing's gray cockpit. It looked like Batman ran out of black Lego bricks that day and like had to use gray ones. Did you see the like makeshift cockpit? I know it's supposed to be like, oh, this is early days, so he hadn't completed the Batwing, I guess. But
what's wrong with gray?
Well, it just looked out of place. Like, I'm so used to the sleek look of the Batwing, just having like the glass cockpit, but it had this like gray color. I don't know. It was weird. And it had blue seats as well. I was like,
those are all the colors of Batman.
I guess so. Yeah. He's going for a color scheme, see if it works. But he does change it.
Pure yellow because of the belt. That was Alfred's idea. So that was the last time he was allowed to have an idea.
And then we get Dick being brought back to the Batcave. What did you think about little Richard being brought back to see the Batcave and reveal Bruce's identity as Batman?
Seal the Bat, huh? Is that little Richard? Is that
That's Michael Jackson? Yeah, what did you think about that scene?
Yeah, it was fine. It was good.
I liked that. I liked Bruce like taking off his mask and you seeing him. Like, I think that's one of the first times we see Bruce in the bat suit without his mask on in the bat cave. Like, I know that was a thing of the show that they tried to avoid doing a lot.
Alfred's line is a bit ominous though, and he's just like, looks like you're here permanently now because we can't let you leave here alive if you're gonna spill this beans. Our little Richard, a huge fan by the way, signed this for me. Thank you.
We're just going to put you in these handcuffs. That's all right. Don't worry. I'm just going to keep you down here now. This is where you live.
I'm on a shock collar myself. You'll get used to it. And the sound of the dead cats, just forget about them.
What does the sound of dead cats make? So Zuko is hiding out next to an abandoned amusement park, which is the setting for the finale of this episode as well. And it looked a lot like the same park that the Joker used in the Be a Clown episode. I thought, I was like, that has to be the same one because it had the same sort of roller coaster and everything. Ooh. So that's the second time Batman's been there and like fought a criminal. And I was also thinking, is that the one that like Wormwood shut down when he used one of his death traps? And it was just I'll just leave that there.
Why not reuse it? Because I bet they're all like, he wouldn't think that someone's hiding out here again, would he?
No way we'd do this again, right?
Batman always skips over like, no one ever hides out there, Robin, trust me. It's like every villain that's escaped from Arkham is just like hiding and looking.
Yeah, Zuko runs into the Joker hiding. He's like, no, this is my hiding spot.
Oh, shit. Joker's hiding behind the wall.
I'm not ready to do my plan yet. Leave me alone.
I love the idea of all the villains like hiding out in the same place, being like, you get captured. No, us. Don't, not let them know we're here.
It's the best game of hide and seek they've ever played. So Zuko fires his machine gun at the roof for like a solid minute, as we said, and Batman falls through. And Zuko says, mother, and then like gets cut off. And I was thinking he was going to say motherfucker, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He was definitely going to be like, motherfucker, it's the bat. Like, that's exactly
what he's going to say. It's the motherfucking Batman. Damn right, bitch.
Imagine if he did say that. We're like, well, this cartoon has stepped it up.
Well, Batman said, damn right, bitch.
And Zuko said, damn motherfucker.
Right, bitch. I'm taking your ass to Arkham. I'm not crazy. I'm taking your ass to Stonegate.
That's an appropriate place for me to go.
So with your big buggy eyes right now, you're looking a bit Arkham-y, Tony Zucchini. I'm not going to lie. Zucchini? It's Tony Zapatos, I'll have you know.
Motherfucker.
It's Tony Zapateria. That's his Spanish alias. Zapateria, it's a shoe store, isn't it?
Or a library? Fuck you. No.
Maybe the Deca is a library. What did I say?
Zapateria?
That's a shoe store.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Why is Tony Zuko...
I think I school Spanish.
Why is Tony Zuko named after a shoe store? There's no relation to him and shoes.
Zukos, that type of shoes. Gucci Zukos.
Not even clothes.
No, I was naming brands.
Yeah, okay, but Zuko and Gucci, where do those two come into play?
They're available at the Zapateria.
You've ever come up with. I'm probably going to cut it, but I almost want to keep it in because
keep
it's
it
so
in.
Bad. So Zapateria Zuko tells Batman he's sending him straight to a bat box. And I was like, are you trying to stay on brand for Batman there? Like naming everything bat something in order for him to understand? Like, can you imagine if Batman didn't understand what you were saying unless you put bat in front of the word?
What, everyone?
Yeah, well, like, no, but like a specific subject. Like Alfred says, sir, I've made your bed for you. What's a bed, Alfred? I've made your bat bed for you, sir.
Why didn't you just say so? And I assume that comes with bat bed sheets and bat pillows. Yes, sir. Bat bed sheet. And I will be reading you a bat bedtime story. Oh, good, 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 good. Yes. And then you must have your bat bath. I don't want to have my bat bath.
Sir?
You've been fighting crime all night. You need your bat bath. Let you bat go fuck yourself, sir.
And sir, what bathing suit would you like in your bath? What's a hing, Alfred? Get it? Bat bathing? Bat's in the word? Hey! I thought you were English, Alfred. Start speaking it. No! Come on, that was good. Bat's in the word. No, make a noise, please.
I think you've gone batty.
What's a T?
You're very fucking annoying, sir. Did you get that?
Put bat in front of it, Alfred.
Bat, go fuck yourself. Bat's up.
Fine.
Bad, fine. Bad, I will.
Have a bad day. Now, are you saying have a bad day? Or have a bad day?
Have a bad, bad day.
I thought it was clever also the use of sitting duck when Batman was hiding out in the shooting gallery. Obviously, like, he is a sitting duck in a shooting gallery at that point. I was like, that's a fun little play on words. And Robin does the most ridiculous stunt when he jumps over the bridge. He goes at, like, 90 degrees up that thing. Like, I was waiting for, like, Tony Hawk. You know, in Tony Hawk, it's like,
bam! Here I am, doing everything I can. Tony Zuko is the man that killed my family, Brad.
Bam, bam! Like, they're getting points after points. He's listening to that music in his helmet. He's just like, oh, yeah, this is Tony Hawk Skater number 2. It's dope.
And it's so unfair that Batman left me in his lair. So I gotta go and find him by myself. Alfred on drums.
Oh, sick trick, sir. Times 3.
I believe you just did the 900, Robin. Shut up, old guy. Remember the 90s, everyone was like, ew, you're old. Like, old kids are like, shut up, old guy.
Now
old
shut up.
Being old is lame.
Now we're the old guys.
Yep.
Okay, boomer.
So here I am. I pull my back all the time. I pull my back all the time. I've gained weight in my mind.
Well, not just in your mind.
Only in my mind.
Fat Paulie over here, am I right?
Poor Fat Paulie. He's just Paulie, everybody.
Well, he named the pool hall Fat Paulie, so...
It was probably because he wanted to call it Paulie's Pool Hall, and they were like, I'm not going to Paulie's Pool Hall. I'm going to Fat Paulie's Pool Hall. He was like, oh, the brand recognition is worth the money. Yes.
Imagine if there's another Paulie, though. That's why he's just like, well, I can't
Skinny
call it Paulie,
Paulie.
Because... Yeah, exactly. Skinny Paulie.
Paulie's pool house. Is that Fat Paulie or Skinny Paulie? Or in between Paulie?
Short Paulie? Tall Paulie?
It's once fat, then lost weight, now twice as fat, Paulie. Ah, gotcha.
That guy.
Super fat Paulies. Gotcha.
So what did you think of Batman taking out guys on the merry-go-round and that whole scene?
It felt a little bit like Strangers on a Train, which is fun.
Oh, I've not seen that. So do you think that was an ode?
Yeah. Not really. I mean, Strangers on a Train, the merry-go-round, like, is like off the rails spinning. But
right,
it still had the vibe. It also reminded me a bit of, is it in the Punisher movie with the merry-go-round? It's in one of the Punisher movies.
With the oh, yeah. No, it's in the show with...
Oh, is it in the show?
Face? Yeah, yeah.
It he also has reminds a fight. Me of Face Off as well, like when his family's killed by the merry-go-round.
Oh, yeah. Like which is how the Punisher's family is killed in the show. They're killed by the merry-go-round. And then at the end, he fights
Jigsaw. Smashes him up, yeah.
Yeah, that's how he creates Jigsaw. Oh, yeah, that's a very Face-Off feel to it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought Robin bursting through the sign in the Batcycle and grabbing Zuko was really cool, dragging him across the dock.
Mm, and dragging him was cool. I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
Oh, man, I've got to talk about that and what you put in your holes, because I just watched parts one and two, and I liked I really love revisiting those. So Zuko goes face-to-face with Robin, and Batman interrupts, and as you said, it was a really kind of heartwarming, or at least a great reason for Batman to keep Robin out of it. It was mainly to keep him safe because he was afraid of losing him. And I really do like Kevin Conroy's delivery of like, Zuko took so much from you. And I couldn't like bear to think about if he took you away from me as well. Like
it's great.
It was really good. And I do like when Robin goes like, shut up, Batman, or whatever he says. Like, what do you know about this? Like, you don't understand.
You biffed that one, mate. Really biffed that one.
Yeah, you know exactly.
He's like,
that
you
he
know, I, you know, I, buddy, you know, I know.
Yeah, imagine if Joe Chill shows up and Batman's just like, fuck the rules, kill that guy.
Hey, 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 hey. Just, you using this, Tony? Thank you.
Yeah, and then
turn
he's
that
just
motherfucker
like,
into Swiss cheese.
Don't kill Zuko, though. That's bad. I can do what I want, but you can't.
Yeah,
you're still
lock
a kid.
This guy up.
So yeah, when Zuko gets locked up as well, I forgot about the paddy wagons in this show. Like they're just like giant metal cubes almost, and I love the way the door opens. It's almost like a big mouth or a claw, the way that it opens and closes. And I haven't seen those in a while.
I drew a couple of them at the end of my Batman story with Killer Croc, the paddy wagon type stuff.
Yeah, they're a really cool design, so I like seeing those again. And Gordon must have had a really stressful 9 years, because he had a full head of red hair, like, and then 9 years later, he's just like straight up white. I was like, what happened in those 9 years, dude?
Like, it's like super rare for ginger hair to go like pure white like that, so motherfucker must be stressed.
Yeah, I mean, I know being the commissioner of Gotham probably is stressful, but like that stressful? God damn. Surprised he didn't go bald as well. Can you imagine? He's just a bald guy when we cut to him 9 years later. He's like, ah, fuck.
I used to be fit as hell.
And then the sun rises as Batman and Robin walk away together, and that
the sun rises.
That is the what we got. The guy, what's his name? The Baron from the last episode, Cape and Cal.
There you go. You titled him. The sun is rising.
And that is the end of the episode. So as always, when we review these episodes, does it make your top three?
No, but I would put it in my top 10 so far.
Interesting. I would put part one definitely in the sort of top 10 area, but I'm not sure. Like, I just felt like there was stuff missing in this. Like, part one was so strong, and I felt like part two just wasn't as strong as a follow-up. But yeah, it doesn't make my top three either. What would you give this episode out of 10?
7 out of 10.
I was going to say a 7 as well, but I liked it a little less than you do, so I'm going to drop it down to...
Then I'll go higher then. 7.5 out of 10.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 6.75 out of 10.
Why? All right, and it's a 7 out of 10 then.
7 out of 10. I just wanted to get there. an average of 7 out of 10. All right. So the next episode, I think, is going to be probably in our top three, if it's as good as I remember, at least. Right now, our top three are, in no particular order, Two-Face Part 1, Perchance to Dream, and Joker's Favor. So three very strong episodes. But the next episode that we're reviewing, Bud, is The Laughing Fish.
Holy smokes.
Yes.
I haven't seen it in so long.
It is when we started this podcast, it was the first episode that came to my mind when I thought about my top favorite episodes. Yeah. It's still up there. I've actually recently read the comics that this episode is based off of, enjoyed them, but there's something about this episode where I was like, it's so pitch perfect. And again, Paul Dini just knocking it out of the park with Joker scenarios and dialogue. So I'm very much looking forward to getting to that next week.
Awesome. So am I.
All right, it's our first game of the day, which is Riddle Me This, William.
Focus! Focus! Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe it's luck.
Oh, darn. Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
This is a game I play with my brother where I ask him three questions on the episode we just watched to make sure he was paying attention. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are. Question one, are you ready?
Yeah, I am full of energy and I'm unwell. Let's do it.
When Zuko watches Batman and Little Dick float down the river, he says, "Good riddance to the blank and the blank." What does he say?
The boy and the bat.
Nope. They rhyme.
The bat and the cravat.
Yes. His nickname for the little boy is the cravat. Come on. Yeah, good riddance to the bat and the
scat.
Okay, I'm just going to say it now. How have you not? Well, I know you're sick, so I'm going to give you a break. It is the bat and the brat.
Right.
Question two, how long has Tony Zuko been hiding out from Batman?
7 years?
Nope. More than that.
6 years?
More than that.
9 years.
9 years is right. Question three, what is Tony Zuko's nickname for Little Dick?
The boy blonder?
Nope. When he sees him,
circus
he goes,
boy.
Yeah, well done. The circus boy.
Can he be trusted?
And then finally, a bonus question. Dick is the second person to see the Batcave, according to Batman. Who do you think is the first person that saw the Batcave? The Batman.
Alfred.
Yeah. But it took me a second when he's like, correction, the second person. I was like,
really? What are you, a dumb guy?
Well, I was thinking, is he talking about, like, I thought about...
Wait, some sort of dumb guy or something?
Well, I wouldn't include Alfred as the first person to see it, because I thought they would create it together. So I was thinking
of Batman
would
have been the one spelunking, being the first one to see it.
I guess,
and then he would have shown it to Alfred as the second person to see it.
Who then is the first person, according to... So he's not counting himself.
He's not counting himself.
Yeah. But I was thinking about Mask of the Phantasm, and maybe Andrea was like, I was like, did she see it? Because I was wondering if that was a callback, but she didn't. She got proposed to, and the bats flew out of the hole, and that's where he found the entrance to the Batcave in this canon, but she did not see it.
Right.
All right, it's our next game of the day, which is Ace the Bat Sound. This is a game we play with you, the listener. Each week I'll play a brief music clip from the show and you have to guess who the character is or the title of the episode that the music belongs to. The answer to each clip will be revealed in the following episode. So last week we had this music clip. And if you still don't know, here's a clue of a voice clip from that episode.
The Queen's sarcophagus.
It's not what it seems, Detective.
Father!
That chest contains more than a mummy's corpse. Remember, Thoth Khepera was immortal. Her subjects deified her, named her after the ancient gods of infinite knowledge and eternal life. And in a few short moments, I will be privy to those same secrets of life and death.
All right, this is an episode that I've only seen maybe once or twice in my usual run. I usually skip it. It's the episode Avatar, which is a Ra's al Ghul episode, and has to do with like mummies and tomb raiding and Ra's. Yeah, I'm not like, I don't know. Maybe it will be better upon a rewatch when we finally get to it, but it is not one that I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait to watch that episode. Mm-hmm. But it has a fun vibe to it, very sort
more
of
like 50. Indiana, no, thank you very much.
Okay, and here's the musical clip for next week's episode where you have to name the episode that the music is from. Well, just hearing that harmonica alone, bud, it gets me all excited. It's one of my favorite jams of this whole. Hell yeah. So, yeah, we'll reveal that in the next episode. Okay, it's our final category of the day, which is You've Got Mail.
Oh, by the way, this came for you an hour ago by messenger.
You've got mail.
Thank you, Alfred.
This is where I take all your comments, emails, messages, and especially podcast reviews and read them out on the pod. So first of all, we've got Preston Jones, who says, "Hey, Robson Goofballs. Name's Preston. 200 characters is tight, so briefly, just heard Will's Thanksgiving rant. As an American, I completely agree, and you have me cackling like Joker at my workplace."
Do you remember what that, about the food?
Yeah, like, they don't do a roast well, but, the black community like rocks Thanksgiving, like they do all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, someone
well.
Was supposed to write in and tell me what the black Thanksgiving meal was, because
that's right.
On vegetable choice alone, I know I'd be in. That's for sure.
Yeah. Then we got Mama Luigi on Robin's Reckoning Part One. Mama Luigi has said, "TMS Spectrum formerly worked on Lupin the Third." Yes, he is exactly right. One of the thugs was definitely Lupin. Inspired. There you go.
Absolutely.
Vindication.
Now, was it this podcast that I played that banging theme tune on, or was that on our previous podcast, the Spider-Man one?
What Spider-Man?
Which one when I played like the our Spider-Man podcast we did.
Oh, I thought you made it sound like the episode, like where you're like, was it this no. episode?
The theme tune to Loop on the Third is such a banger.
We'll be right back. You probably played it, but I think it was on the Spider-Man podcast that you played it, okay. Not on this one. Okay, then we've got Autumn, who says, "Hey guys, love the podcast. I'm one of the rare Gen Z fans of BTAS, and this show has been super fun to listen to whilst I'm rewatching the show. You guys are hilarious.
Go
keep up the great work.
Out and live your life. Don't listen to this podcast. Go and live. You're young. Enjoy it."
Thank you, Autumn, for writing in. Really appreciate you listening. Then we've got Think Tank Studios, who says, "James Bond is what all sad men find cool. Why would you say something so controversial yet so brave?"
Because it's true.
I did keep that in. I was like, should I? And I was like, no, he's gonna feel the wrath of people if they are fans of James Bond. But you know what? I know what you're saying by that. I'm a massive James Bond fan, and so I feel like I can say this. I know what you mean by that. There's some people that like, and I take my obsession too far sometimes with
don't
like
you say some people. It is, you are 100% that person. You, for the longest time, would only buy clothes that were screen-worn by fucking Daniel Craig in James Bond movies. That is fucking nerdy.
It's true. And that's okay to be nerdy. So don't call them sad men. They're just fans.
There's nothing wrong with being nerdy, but it is a bit sad.
I know. Exactly what you mean. Yep. Okay, then we've got M. Recht, who says, or M. Reich. No, M. Reich. Okay, let me spell this out for you. M-R-E-C-H-T.
M-R-C-E-H.
No, M-R-E-C-H-T.
M-R-E-C-H.
M. Reich.
Merck Reich.
Or Mr. Echt.
You've heard of the Third Reich. Now it's time for the Merck Reich.
He just said, "You guys."
Improved rank.
Or Mr. Act has said, or M. Racked is, "You guys are hilarious. My favorite podcast. Thank you very much."
Oh wait, is it Mr. Eckright?
Mr. Act, E C H T. Mr. Act. Very confused. Very
Mr.
confused. By that.
Mr. Bring me a dream.
Then we got the video scientist who says, "Boss Biggus is a cannibal. When Harvey Dent becomes Big Bad Harv, he's actually a schoolyard bully. And Mr. Freeze is a thespian. I love these headcanons that you guys come up with. I wonder who will be next." Ooh. Well, we've had some other ones too, like Killer Croc as an impressionist. That was great.
Yeah, that video you made was so funny. the joys I have is I fucking forget everything I say or do in this podcast. And then I get to watch like a stupid little video where I laugh. Because it's like I'm hearing it for the first time. Like, I came up with that. That's pretty funny. Good job, past me.
I'm a fan of this podcast and this particular host.
I'm a fan of me.
And then Ewan has said, "Hey, Alex, because I know you'd probably be the one reading this, you could call the short dub videos Bat Bits, but it might sound a bit inappropriate in Alfred's voice. Love the pod. All the best." Ewan, I appreciate it. Bat Bits could be fun, but the long form videos that I was looking for a name on for YouTube, you actually came up with the name that I quite like, because once we go further than Batman, we can still do these YouTube videos on other shows and stuff like that. So we've simply titled it "That's What We Said," which I really enjoy. And I think that's a fun name for it, especially because it's our reviews on things and that's what we said. So yeah, those will be going forward the name of those videos on YouTube.
The other one was "Reviewer, I Hardly Know Her," but we figured that people might get upset by that. So.
Bit too niche as well, yeah. But so that's what we said is a fun one. Then we got Scotty Cameron, who said, "Great episode. Love the review of the BTAS Saw episode. Hello, Zep is the name of the Saw theme composed by Charlie Clouser." So
we all have access to internet post-conversation, don't we?
Well, thank you, Scotty, for not only knowing the Saw theme, but telling me who I already knew. I obviously knew the composer was Charlie Clouser. He's one of my favorite composers, clearly. Who's also done all of the other Saw movies. Yeah.
Besides the Saw franchise, has done.
Dead Silence, that movie that was directed by the James Wan, I think, with the dummy. Do you remember that? He did that as well.
No. I'm impressed you chose something else, so you could be pulling that out of your ass. But
it's true. I did, because I looked it up and I was like, oh, he's done everything related to like the Saw people. He was like, I found my place and I'm sticking to it.
He's like, I fucking love Saw. I'm in. People are going to think this is iconic. Ready? it goes like this. I'm the Saw theme.
I don't know how it goes. You don't even remember it. I love it. Then we got Legion on our Cape and Cow review. Very good podcast episode. Hilarious. Thank you, Legion. We've got Gaz Holiday. I've had to stop listening to this podcast whilst out in public due to chuckling like a Joker victim. Thank you, Gaz. I always like knowing that people are laughing out in public and trying to hide it when listening to this pod.
Yeah, that's very funny to me, especially the one that said they were like Tesco and they were just like, ah! Like, that's really funny to me.
And then we've got Alex Busalil. Well, don't say that because the last time you said it, the guy was not Italian. I pronounced his name right, but you. Alex has said, love the podcast. It makes me look like a laughing maniac in public. There's another one that I enjoy. And then finally, Jim Farrow has emailed us and said, hey guys, long time listener, but first time writing in. Just want to say I love this podcast so much and have been listening to it since day one. To see the community of listeners grow as this podcast has, it's amazing. And my hat's off to you guys for always putting on a great show. I was wondering, as you guys rank your top three episodes now, if you could rank your top three favorite Batman films. Thank you again for all that you do and being the number one Batman the Animated Series podcast out there. Jim, P.S. I miss Caped Capers. Well, if you stick around at the end of this episode, there might be a little Caped Capers tease by accident.
Kind of, yeah.
But yeah, I miss it too, but maybe one day.
My top three Batman films are number one, Batman 1989 for pure nostalgia reasons. Mm-hmm. Number two, it is The Dark Knight because it's not just a good Batman film, it's just a great film. And number three is Mask of the Phantasm because it is probably the most solid Batman film made besides the former.
What a trio. I think the only one for me, oh, that's so tough because you just listed three and I'm like, yep. My first one is Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Doing this podcast again, watching it again, I was like, yeah, this is my favorite Batman movie. So that is number one. Batman 89 is a close second for sure. And then I want to say The Dark Knight, but I find that I have for personal reasons, a more fondness and love, and I've watched it more times than The Dark Knight, is Batman Forever. I just love that fucking movie.
You love that movie, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Forever, even though that pains me to say, Christopher Nolan just won an Oscar, and I'm like, yeah, fuck that guy, put Batman Forever in its place.
I rewatched, I think I even said on this podcast, I rewatched Dark Knight with my wife like a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And we were both just watching it the whole fuck time. But when it was done, we were like, that was so fucking good, wasn't it? We're like, yeah. And we're like, God, absolutely puts modern day cinema to shame. Like, shame on all of you filmmakers out there producing garbage when, like, that's what we got, like, 10, yeah. 15 years ago. Like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Oh, Do better,
Hollywood. Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for writing that in, by the way. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks,
for
Jim. In. Now I'm all hot.
Oh, by the way, you know how the Robson rant, you didn't like when the Robson's ranting?
I hated it.
And I really appreciate people sending it in and the one we use, but I get it. But I was wondering if you do go hot and do a Robson rant, that if I just play the Oscars theme to play you off the stage?
No. If I just have the freedom to express myself on this platform, then I'm gone, baby.
Okay.
That's what the people are here for. They want to hear Robson rant.
Okay. We'll just let you rant then. And if you enjoy the ranting of this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us back grapple up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And if you leave a review, we might read it out on the pod at the end of each episode. And please subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast catcher of choice if you haven't yet already. Also, you can follow us at batmantaspod@gmail.com or follow us on social media. Did I just say you can follow us at batmantaspod@gmail.com? Whoopsie.
I was zoned out completely there.
You wait for the Twitter queue. You can email us at batmantaspod@gmail.com or follow us on social media at batmantaspod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, on YouTube, everywhere, but the app formerly known as Twitter, which is at batmantaspod1. And that's because why?
Because we are the number one Batman the Animated Series podcast.
You goddamn right. In the description of this episode, you'll find a tip jar where you can give to us any amount of money you can afford to give, if you so wish. As we aren't billionaire playboy philanthropists, any amount you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always greatly appreciated. And you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson if you want to. But most importantly, go follow Will on his socials, stay up to date on what he's working on now, and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist and writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me anywhere on the internet at Robson Inc., and that's R-O-B-S-O-N-I-N-K. And I got tons of other stuff going on, so just sit back for the next minute as I plug, plug, plug. Don't skip it. If you skip it, you're dead to me.
There's all no right, time codes, so they won't be able to skip it.
No, yeah. Who knows how long this will be? So.
You're like, buy my stuff, that's it.
Buy my things. Okay, so. I have got a Patreon, right? And it's for aspiring comic book artists who want to get better at drawing comics. I run a private Discord through my Patreon. I've got tons of members, and already some of them are just improving so greatly. That's terrible vernacular I'm using there. It's not a writing learning. It's an art learning.
It's not
writing learning. It's the art learning. And if any good for you, it would not. Anyway, the Discord server's been great. So if you're interested in getting better at drawing, you can join there. But also, I've started doing now a monthly Whatnot show. And I don't know if I've even talked about it on the podcast yet, but the last one went terrific. Next one is going to be April 6th. And that is, I think, a Sunday or something like that. Or a Saturday. I think it's a Saturday. And it will be at a time that everyone can oh my God, I'm biffing this so hard. Don't cut it. I'm just going to keep going. It's at a time. I love this. I'm sick. I'm not ready to do all this stuff.
I've got the Oscars theme queued up.
I need it for this part, yeah. Anyway, Whatnot. If you go and watch me on Whatnot, you can win free art from me, free signed comics from me, free stickers and all this stuff. It's a really fun way that I can give back to the fans every single month. But also, I'm selling signed copies of Outbreaks, my comic book. I'm doing little drawings and I saw pictures of Batman that I drew. I saw pictures of Spider-Man and all this type of fun stuff. It's something that's really fun that we really enjoyed doing last month. So I'm looking forward to doing it again. And this time around, I'm going to have an exclusive Whatnot exclusive cover for my book Outbreaks and a Whatnot exclusive training guard. You can only get those versions through Whatnot. So that's a really fun thing to do. But besides that, my comic book, Outbreaks, is launching its third issue on Kickstarter April 15th. Cover by the fucking co-creator of the fucking Walking Dead, Tony Moore, is doing the cover. My God, if you like zombies, this is the book to get. It's going to be awesome. That's April 15th to May 15th, where you can buy that there. Help support the book, because I can't make this book without you guys' support. What else is going on in my life? My website. Sign up to my newsletter. speechcomics.com. If you sign up to the newsletter, it will let you know when we go live for the Kickstarter. Anything
That's
else?
Right. All of the links are in the description below.
Yes, they are, baby.
Easily clickable, easily accessible. I think that all sounds very good. Do you want to go into what we're stuffing in our holes now? Do you know what time it is? It's time to stuff in your
holes.
It's time
to stuff stuff.
It's time to stuff stuff. What content are you stuffing? I've got you now. I'm messing up. You've put it through to me. Now I'm stuff stuff. What stuff are you stuffing in your holes? What content are you consuming?
I recently had to consume a lot of content for being bedridden because I quarantined from my wife so she would not get my cold. And I watched a bunch of stuff on YouTube, documentaries about Greg Nicotero and Tom Savini. I got really deep into zombies while I was in bed. I watched the Argento cut of Dawn of the Dead, and I didn't like that cut, so then I just went and watched the extended version right afterwards, and it was so much better. Because what the Argento cut did was, and if you don't know, I'm going to bore you with some fucking film history right now. Dawn of the Dead was produced by an Italian filmmaker who created a movie called Zombie, and that's Zombie with an I, right? And he was a huge fan of George A. Romero. So what he did was he loved Night of the Living Dead, and he said, hey, if you're going to make a sequel, I'm going to fund it for you. He went, great. I am actually in the process of making a sequel right now. He said, great, just give me the rights to release it in Italy and let me edit my own version of it, and I'm going to call it Zombie. He said, that's fine. So that was the deal that they came to. So there's three different cuts of the film. One is by the Italian guy, and it's more focused just on like horror and like seriousness. So when I had that, I was like, oh, cool, I'll check this out. But the fun thing about George A. Romero and the Dawn of the Dead universe is like, there's some tongue-in-cheek in there. Like, they have fun with these zombies. They have fun as they're running around the mall and securing it. Like, they play silly songs, and like they even like stick like little pies and squirt soda on them and stuff. Like, it's a fun. That's what I love about the George A. Romero universe, because they're like, it's just a bunch of slow-moving dead people. Like, it's not that serious. But then suddenly it always ends with you getting fucking ripped to pieces, yeah. And you see organs getting ripped out of people, and that's so chef's kiss. I fucking love it. So. I watched that. I watched a bunch of then like stuff about Tom Savini and the makeup behind everything, and then Greg Nicotero and all of this type of stuff. And then I watched after that, Amazon recommended me Tremors, and I was like, do you know what? I've never seen Tremors, and I've always wanted to see it. So I watched it, and I fucking loved it. It was like Jaws, but in Arizona with a bunch of rednecks. And that was also like just a lot of fun. What a great adventure movie. Like, just pure fun, that movie. Like, it knew exactly what it was, and I had a great time watching it.
They're like, you ever seen it? They're like worms, aren't they? Like, I've seen parts of Number One when I was very young. I remember, is Kevin Bacon in it?
Yes, Kevin Bacon's great in it.
Yeah, so I've seen parts of it, but I've never seen anything more than that on those movies. I do have a question though. The zombie movie, the Italian cut of Dawn of the Dead, do the zombies sound different in Italian? Are they just like,
Blaine's mangia mangia? Blaine. Grazie bueno. He went to make his own movie, though, a sequel to, it's so weird, it gets really complicated. He made Zombie 2, which is a sequel to Dawn of the Dead, but it's a sequel just that he made.
That's so like, weird.
That's like, George A. Romero's like, I had nothing to do with that shit.
Right, okay. Anything else?
And that's the famous zombie movie where a zombie fights an actual shark, a tiger shark, like some guy, stunt guy dressed up as like a zombie underwater, like, is like fighting a real tiger shark. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Isn't there anything else you're putting in your holes?
I watched Sicario, as I said, and I was into it at first, but then as it went on, I was like, this has lost me a little bit, and it was just fine in the end. But the new thing I've gotten really into, as I was delving more into Tom Savini and Greg Nicotero, I was looking more at like these anthology stuff, because Greg Nicotero is doing Creepshow on Shudder. I didn't realize that he was show running that, so I was like, oh shit, I got to check that out. And then I was like, there's also, I know Tom Savini directed a lot of Tales from the Dark Side, and I was like, man, I've never seen that either. And I went, do you know what else I've never actually seen a lot of is Tales from the Crypt. And I know that was like the cream of the crop horror anthology, and I'm like, I make a fucking horror anthology. I know I've read a lot of EC comics, but I wanted to like see more of the film side of it, and holy crap, have I opened up a wormhole or a can of worms,
can of tremor worms.
That's right, can of tremor worms, when it comes to Tales of the Crypt, because it's so fucking good. I love it so much. The first episode was, I was like, this is first episode is really, really well made. I was like, if I was like a fucking film student, I'd be fucking proud of what I did, because it was so cool and well acted and a great story. And then all these names pop up. Like, I know that Spielberg's a part of it. Richard Donner directs some episodes and he produces the whole show.
Crazy.
I watched one where it was Dick Donner directing, and it starred that actor who plays Richie from Sopranos, and also the guy from the Gotham Gazette from Batman 89.
Yeah, Alexander Knox.
That's
Alfred,
right.
And it was, Alfred, give Knox a grant.
Yeah, and it's all just fun stuff. Like, that story was Richie gets an experimental treatment where they take the glands from a cat, where the nine lives, and they put it in a human, and it works.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's got nine lives, so he joins the circus where, like, they keep killing him, and, like, they make tons of money because they're like, you get to, like, shoot this guy, like, pay $1,000 to shoot this guy, and, like, he'll come back to life and stuff. And in the end, obviously, there's always, like, a dark twist at the end of every episode.
It's like a Twilight Zone, almost, right? Like,
it's like any little horror anthology type. Yeah, they're all very, very similar. Like, I love the Creepshow movies, but And this is very similar to that, but there's just a bit more of a, I don't know, a more serious edge. But at the same time, like, it's stuff we've all seen. It's like a darker version of, you know, fucking Goosebumps, basically.
Yeah, or like, Afraid of the Dark or whatever.
Yeah. I watched one last night where, like, this prostitute sells her beauty at a pawn shop, thinking that she just, like, mugged the guy off, and then she slowly, like, starts to turn into a haggard old woman. And I was like, this is fun. I was like, I fucking love all this. And, like, if you're a score buff, like, I saw Alan Silvestri was doing scores. I've seen a bunch of other people. And I was, Danny Elfman and stuff. And I'm like, this is, like...
Damn!
It's early HBO, and, like, there's just tons of people. I know Brad Pitt's in an episode at one point, so, like, I'm all in. I'm going to watch all of it, and I can't wait.
Awesome. That sounds like it's made for you as well. Were you watching it, and you're like, this is... How am I just seeing this now? Like, I feel like this is tailor-made. Because it's got...
Exactly.
Even though you've never seen it, Outbreaks has some inspiration pulling from that, right? Like, to me, when I first saw the... I know what you're pulling from, but when I first saw the Major Z... I've never seen an episode of Tales of the Crypt. When I saw Major Z, I was thinking of the Crypt Keeper from that show, right? Like,
well, that's because it is based off of the Crypt Keeper and the Joker, but that's because Tales from the Crypt is based off of EC Comics books, which is the Crypt Keeper is from.
Right.
So that's I've read a bunch of EC Comics. I fucking love EC Comics. Huge inspiration for my art as well. That's where I've focused, but I never watched like the film or TV adaptations until now. And I don't know why, but I'm so happy I'm diving in. I'm going to try and watch all of them.
Like, you might have sold me on watching some of them as well. They sound pretty good.
Anybody out there, it's all on YouTube, by the way. Please just watch Tales from the Crypt episode 1. I think it's brilliant. If you like superheroes and like, what's it called? Vigilantes. It's a really good episode. And the guy who plays him, he's charming as hell in it. And there's a great line in the first episode that, like, actually I was like, holy shit, this is, like, really, really well written. Because he's all about death, this guy. And he goes on this beautiful poetic rant, and then at the end he just, like, on a switch just goes, but they're dirty and scummy, and they fucking, like, rob and steal, so fuck them. And, like, leaves. And I was just like, holy shit, like, I don't know why. I think it's great. So go watch the episode. I highly recommend it. It is fun. And the Crypt Keeper is fucking awesome as well.
No, that sounds cool. I'll probably check that out. Stuff I'm putting in my holes, we finished From, and yeah, had some questions again, like the show keeps on leaving me with questions, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it'll be nice to have a break now and then come back to it whenever the third season comes out and see if we still enjoy it.
Do you like the spooky puppet over the bath? That thing freaks me out.
Kind of. It didn't like...
Well, it's just going like,
it was okay. We watched this show called Extraordinary, which we've seen season one when it came out however many years ago. Season two just dropped on Disney Plus over here. And it's a really fun premise. It kind of suits for both me and my girlfriend because it's like the X-Men meets Fleabag. In a way, like, it's about this world of people that every single person has a superpower, an ability, but it's based in London and everybody is just living their normal lives, but, like, superpowers are part of it. No one's, like, a superhero or no one's, like, profiting off their power in a sense, but there's this one girl who's the main character who has never had a superpower and still doesn't. And it's, yeah, it's very Fleabag and X-Men and it's fun. It's a good show. So we enjoyed the second season. I watched The Maltese Falcon, which I've never seen, but I went on a real, like, film noir streak recently. I still haven't seen Sunset Boulevard. I do need to watch that one.
A classic.
I've seen Double Indemnity.
That's my favorite.
But, yeah, I haven't watched that one, so I'm going to watch some of those. But
you know, I think I like Maltese Falcon a little bit better than that one.
Maltese Falcon was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. But what started this whole thing was watching Sin City 1 and also Sin City 2, which I think
How did you
really
watch Sin City 2?
Not...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just say that. I watched it. And I don't know why it's not available in this country, but it's just not. Which is so
my favorite
stupid
zombie movie of all time, Day of the Dead, is not available in this country.
That's true.
Fucking nuts.
So, but yeah, I watched Sin City because I was like, I haven't seen this in a while. I'll just stick it on. And I was going to have it in the background whilst I was doing editing. And I found myself, I just put my stuff down. And I was like, I'm watching this again. Like, this is so fucking good. Like, it is just.
Yeah, you love Sin City too.
This was Sin City 1, but after Sin City 1 and being like, man, I really loved going back into that world and just the writing and I actually was watching these films, especially number one, and being like, I always discount this movie when I'm like, one of my top 10 favorite movies. And I think it's up there in some of my favorite movies of all time. And for what they did, like what Rodriguez did as far as like the way that the comic book comes to life in that movie is unlike any other comic book film.
One of the most purest adaptations of any media to film ever.
Ever. And every actor is so well cast and so brilliantly done. So I watched Sin City 1 and I was like, I haven't seen Sin City 2. I've only seen that movie once and I haven't seen it in so fucking long and I want to watch it again. And I bloody loved it. Like, it's really good. It's not as good as number one, but it's still very good. It continues on. You've got people like Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it who are just rocking it. You've got Powers Booth back again who's just like, Josh Brolin, yeah, like Josh Brolin is the Dark Knight Returns Bruce Wayne in that movie. Like, put a mustache on that dude and you're like, that is Bruce Wayne in that movie.
He's such perfect casting for that.
He's so good. And honestly, like, Bruce Willis at that age, like, I could have seen Bruce Willis be Frank Miller's Batman Dark Knight Returns as well. Like, he's so good in that.
I think fucking Mickey Rourke is also an amazing choice. The night is up. Like, the way he speaks, like, I could see that man fucking choking out a mutant in a fucking mud pit.
Or like,
you don't get it. This is an operating table. Just hearing him say that would be so sick.
Yeah, you know what? I think Mickey Rourke might be the best choice, especially...
I used to say that to you, and you used to be like, no, fuck you, that's terrible, because he was, like, ugly, I guess you thought.
You
stick a tash on him?
Yeah, and, like, now he's older as well, like, he could so be old gruff Batman. Like, especially... Yeah, just hearing some lines in my head from the comic, like, the rain is a baptism on my chest, I'm reborn again. You're like, oh, that's just...
This would be a good death.
Yeah, that's just...
Not today.
Oh, not good enough. Yeah, that's so
true. Here's a sign. Oh, like, I'm sorry. That's Mickey Rourke's best performance of all time. And I just reading actually Sin City the comics for the first time. Again, amazing. Like, fucking Frank Miller is the best comic book writer of all time, period, hands down, in my opinion. Fucking excellent. And yeah, I get it. I recently watched Sin City like 4 or 5 months ago and I was like, holy shit, this holds up and it's so fucking
so
good.
So good. And just like going back to Marv lines, like I was just reciting lines after I watched that movie as I was walking around the house. Like at one point,
I'll see you later, Kevin.
Yeah, that one. But my favorite one is, all right, you little bastard, let's see you hop around now.
Oh, boom. Smiths.
Yeah, and also when he's like, it's like, hacksaw, gun, and my mitts. Like,
and
I just,
my mitts.
Yeah,
I think here's a sign might be my favorite. I just love that. Like, have you seen any signs of him? Here's a sign that axe is fucking nuts off. So good.
Yeah, so I really, and like Sin City 2, I found myself being like, I would definitely watch that again, like as soon as I had a chance, because it was...
I might watch it after this.
It's just really enjoyable. And like Eva Green, as the like femme fatale in that storyline with Josh Brolin, she is, I mean, she's one of my favorite Bond girls, but fucking hell, is she like... She is just sex on fire in that movie. Like, she is, she, like, everyone refers to her as a goddess. And I'm like, that's exactly what she is. Like, she owns that role. Like, the way that she just, like, looks at people, the way she moves, she is like a snake, but, like, very seductive in the sense.
Is it Sin City 2, you said?
It's Sin City 2. She is brilliant.
Well, it's funny. After rewatching Sin City 1, I was like, oh my God, that's the mother from Haunting of Hill House as his lawyer.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, like she is absolutely stunning in that one shot. You know the shot I'm talking about.
I know
about.
The shot you're talking about. And that's same with Eva Green in Sin City 2.
As a teenage boy, I very much enjoyed that, I must say.
Well, you might enjoy some Eva Green in Sin City 2, that's for sure, for similar reasons. But yeah, it's just shot perfectly. And I really enjoyed that. And I was like, why don't we have more Sin City movies? Like, I want, just get Rodriguez back on it and just keep on making these stories because they're so damn good.
If you want to read it, I own all of them digitally. You can read all of them if you like.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that kick, so I might.
I want to go watch Sin City 2 right now.
All right, well, let's end this podcast then, so you can go do that. Again, anybody out there who can make it to London in mid-June for a live show, we're thinking about doing it. Just want to know how much desire there is out there for people who want to come see us live, watch Almost Got 'Em, and then watch us talk about it. That sounds so like that. But yeah,
£5.
£5. Go down into the links below.
We give you £5.
We give you £5 to come. Yeah, go to the Google form down below and check it out, please. And if you think you can make it, please put your name down there and we'll see how we get on with that. All right, that's all the time we got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember that we are Vengeance, we are the Night, we are a podcast.
Here's a sign.
Toodles!
I see you later, listeners. I hate having a cold. Little Robin.
Batman, are you feeling ill?
Get Alfred. Alfred, where's Alfred?
He died, Batman.
What? What the hell? How long have I been out?
Well, no, he got the same bug you did, but because he's an old man, he died.
Oh, shit. Well, looks like you're Alfred now, pal, right?
Bye, Batman!
No, where's my French onion soup?
That makes you stinky, Batman. I don't want that.
Makes me stinky. I can't smell shit. My nose is so clogged up. Get me the goddamn French onion. That's it. I'm calling takeout. He just gets super fat because Alfred's gone because he's eating like only takeout. He stops caring. Like, he's like, just deliver right to the cave. Like, there's like a delivery guy that knows he's Batman. He's like, I'll tip you better if you keep your mouth shut.
Fat man now, am I right?
Robin, I'm going to fucking kick your ass. I'm grieving.
I've chunked up too. It's Fat Man and Blobbin.
We're going to recreate the whale, Blobbin.
Come here. I never thought my greatest nemesis was sweets and butter.
Diabetes, worse than the Joker and Two-Face combined.
Oh my god.
Adult onset diabetes, the worst criminal in all of Gotham City.
Robin, you're going to have to inject me. I can't reach around anymore.
I can't reach either, Batman.
Well, I am a fat guy that's sick. I am Batman in that scenario.
So you're not feeling very well, Batman.
I'm getting over my cold now, but I've had a cold for like coming up to a week. And I was feeling really good yesterday and I was feeling good this morning. And then I had like a shower and my body reminded me like, you're not well, so.
Oh, great. Right,
enjoy
before we
my
do this.
Bottle low energy tones for this episode.
Well, we almost didn't do this, but you love our listeners so much that you're I'm going to do it.
I love you guys so much. Oh my God, you guys, I love you so much. I love you guys so much. Not that because I'm off work for a week. That's not why. It's because I love you guys so much. That's why I'm doing this right now.
Sign up for my Patreon to take care of
you. Oh, yeah. Please do. Sign up for my Patreon so I can order myself French onion soup to the back game.
I love that the delivery guy just knows. It's like knows. People that know my identity. Alfred, Dick, and Greg. The delivery guy.
And Greg. Who's Greg? He's the Deliveroo driver. Once I open the door dressed fully as Batman. And it wasn't Halloween, so I just went, yeah, I'm back. Yeah.
Give me that.
give me that sushi order. Speaking of sushi, shout out to Aldi, baby. That chicken sushi is great.
Oh, you're still on the sushi, chicken sushi train?
Chicken sushi. Then I get an Arizona iced tea, which is green tea and honey. And this is the English version. So the Americans, it's not anywhere near as sweet as your guys' version. It's like we have a sugar tax in this country. And I'm all for it, because when you go and have drinks in other countries, you're like, holy shit, this is sugary. And that's coming from a really fat guy.
Yeah. Yep. It is true. There's a big difference. But I'm glad you're enjoying your little chicken sushi. I wonder how long until you stop eating it, where you're like, one day you're going to eat it.
I don't get it all the time. I don't get it all the time. It's just a treat. And I also get a little pretzel from the bakery section as well.
An insight into the life of a comic book artist and writer.
Yeah.
I just saw, by the way, completely changing topic, but I thought this was a cool casting choice. Someone posted what John Cena would look like as Buzz Lightyear, and I think he looks pretty fucking dope, don't you?
That's a great casting choice, yeah.
I thought that would be great. So much better than that other Buzz Lightyear movie they made that was a pile of hot garbage.
He'd be a good Maxi Zeus as well.
Oh, he would be. Oh, put that in the back pocket when we cast Maxi Zeus then. Nice. Anyway,
should he just naked at the Oscars or something like that?
He was, yeah, because people can't see him, and he was playing into that joke, and then came out on stage thinking no one could see him. Ha 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 ha. You know that old chestnut.
Very funny. Chestnuts. Cena nuts.
Chest and right. Nuts. Very good.
Right. Really funny. Right? I'm firing at all cylinders. let's get going. I'm warmed up, baby. Bow, 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 bow.
He's out.
He's dead, right?